Phil Vitale's the food critic for the Chicago Tribune. Hey, Phil, how are you? Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good. Yes, thanks for having me.
I'm a little animated today, Phil.
So I see.
So don't cross me, fella.
I tend to agree with you with these kind of things. It's always, you know, all right, give me the number. Just tell me how many people, you know, what's the acceptable number? 10 people going to die? Fine. All right, more people get killed by dogs. 10 million people going to die? Whoa, let's slow this down, right?
And so
the question is, how many zeros after 10 and before 10 million are we going to accept?
And I don't envy him for that task. Yes?
No.
You know, my funny line, Phil, has been, I want to be king someday. It'll be so easy. I don't want to be king now. I've taken my king application out of Cook County. I don't want it until it's back to zero. This is an impossible task for a mayor or a governor.
No, the calculus is at equal parts frightening and soul destroying. Yeah, you have to. I mean, nobody pretends the economy is not a factor. If people start starving to death,
sure,
we have the same problem.
But it's very easy for a governor who's a billionaire to say, no, we have to hold the line on health and let the businesses be damned. I just wonder what my rhetoric would sound like if I was furloughed right now. Maybe I wouldn't be so hard on the mayor of East Peoria, you know?
Well, there's that. There's, you know, and as we've been told, as we've been reminded, you know, year in, year out, a scary number of Americans are only like 2, maybe 3 paychecks ahead. And all they have to do is start missing a couple, and they're in deep trouble economically. And now we know that we have people who have been missing checks for nearly 2 months now.
We've been talking. Go ahead, Phil. Finish that thought.
And so, you know, it's a lot easier for me to sit there. I'm still making money. I'm still getting paid. I'm still doing my job. To a large extent, I'm able to work at home. I'm not feeling the pain yet. I'm feeling the inconvenience, which is nothing. But to talk to people who haven't been able to. You know, they have a little one-person dog grooming shop, and they have not been not allowed to work.
Yeah.
And they look at big box companies that have been allowed to work and say, hey, I can take as many precautions as they can.
He scored a point there if you were keeping score at home. He said, wait a minute. So the Target you can go to, Walmart and Sam's Clubs you can go to. The virus doesn't go in there, but these little mom-and-pop shops that really need one customer at a time, they don't open, but Target does. And the retort to that, of course, is that if you're selling tchotchkes or whatever it is you're selling at your store, I don't mean to demean it, whatever the mom and pop is, you're not selling food and medicine. And that's why Target gets to open. And then, by the way, they could sell you some sneakers as well.
Right. The only state that's clamped on that at all is Michigan, where they let certain stores open, but said, but yeah, your tchotchke aisle has to stay closed.
Oh, really? So you can't buy a pair of blue jeans or whatever, huh?
Right. You can go into last I looked, you could go into the Home Depot and you could get, safe equipment or cleansers, which they sell, and cleaning equipment and stuff like that. But you couldn't buy a new terracotta pot for your plants in there. You couldn't hit the garden nursery and things like that. And some people complained about that, said, look, open is open. We're not going to have more masks just because, or fewer masks, simply because the gardening center is closed.
Right.
So another reason I don't envy the job of governors in all deference, your kingdom, the fine-tuning what is okay and what is not is gardening, is buying flats of tomatoes an essential sale? Me? Nah. My wife? You better don't get between her
well,
and
but
tomatoes.
See, the problem is with that, the word essential. That is absolutely subjective.
Yep.
And maybe safe is too, but I like the word safe more than essential. So, right, you don't have to have a terracotta pot, but what if I could buy one safely? Then why in the world wouldn't you let me do it?
Mm-hmm.
If I can get a Starbucks coffee safely, how can I not buy a terracotta pot or something else safely? Now, maybe in some places you can't. I've seen some Starbucks I don't think are all that safe. But if we determine that there's a safe way to golf or play sports or shop for garden items, then you ought to be able to do it. I mean, isn't that the end game? So let's cut to that chase. I'm on your wife's side on the terracotta pots, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, we're flying blind to a certain extent here. We have a lot more information now than we had 7 weeks ago, but that's still not. No health expert I've listened to yet says we now know enough. You know, everybody's still waiting to see.
Okay.
You know, we assume once you've had this and recovered from it,
yeah,
that you're not going to get it again, but we don't actually know that.
Okay, but I have to now channel Steve Bertrand, who is channeling the mayor of East Peoria.
I'm sorry, I missed that part.
Okay, watch this.
It was
this.
Brilliant.
Hold on, I'm about to do it. In that you don't know, you just said, Phil, we don't know. We don't know when is safe enough. It becomes a judgment call. And I think it's reasonable to decide I need to think about erring on the side of people's livelihoods. I mean, you don't know that angle, that direction I'm leaning is wrong. You just said, we don't know. We just don't know. So,
right.
Of course, you want to err maybe on the side of health, but literally people's savings or livelihoods are going away. And what if you're wrong, Mr. We've Got to Be Safe? Maybe you're destroying businesses in the name of safety that maybe you're being too conservative
so
about.
So can I channel myself?
In this scene, Steve channels me, channeling him, channeling East Peoria.
The point I'm trying to make is I don't know when the right time is, but no matter when that time comes, more people are still going to die afterward. So when you're critical, now it's one thing to maybe in East Peoria than the whole state of Georgia, but when the criticism is because of your decision, more people are going to die, well, that's going to be the case no matter when we start to reopen.
You've been listening to our restaurant review segment with Phil Vitale.
That's right.
Hey, Phil.
And I'm going to be reviewing hospital food at this rate.
Hey, hold on a second. Wait, can I take a break and then come back to you, Phil?
Oh, sure.
I know you're a busy man, and we always appreciate your
anywhere.
Call. All right, well, stay right there. And do talk to me a little bit about food in a minute on WGN. We now go back to Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. I'm bringing the temperature down, Phil. I'm taking us to medium rare.
All right, DEFCON 2.
It's a little softer music here.
I feel more peaceful already.
It's funny, we play a commercial for a different sponsor later in the show, and the 30-second spot, 20 of it is just soft music. And it is a breath. Phil Vitale writes about the restaurant scene for the Chicago Tribune. Hey, Phil, so what are you reviewing or writing about these days along those lines?
Well, we had the James Beard Foundation, which ordinarily would have given out its annual awards on Monday, instead picked Monday as the day it announced its nominees, having postponed that because the nominees would have been announced right as all these restaurants were, right after all the restaurants were shut down anyway. So they listed the nominations and reiterated their intent to announce the winners on September 25th in Chicago, whether that means there will be a James Beard Black Tie Gala, as has been the case in previous years, or whether it'll just be a handful of people gathered around some microphones, we don't know yet. And now we know that it will depend on what phase Illinois has entered into.
I would think, boy, if that's a crowded room of people, that's got to be at least phase four, right?
Yeah, well, it's lyric opera, so yeah, it's that many people. Of course, that's when you sell all the tickets. If you don't sell all the tickets, or you know, I don't know what, you know, I'm sure there. And that's coincidentally the beginning of the weekend for Chicago Gourmet, which is another gathering of chefs and large numbers of people, certainly well over 50. So that would also have to be a phase four event, as currently outlined by the governor.
I guess you could have some sort of gala or thing and just say, okay, we'll sell 49 tickets, the same way some churches are being asked to gather, but with only 10 people in the church.
Yeah.
And you got to do what you got to do, but only 10 sounds kind of like, well, now we're not having church, and 50 people is not a gala, so you really can't make any money on it.
And it's a lot harder not to pay attention and not be conspicuous about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I start to nod off during the sermon, everyone's going to know. Well, the other nine people are going to know.
The James Beard nominees that we should mention, Phil?
The Chicago dominated its region, which is called the Great Lakes region, includes four states, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio, in addition to Illinois. And, there were all Chicago chefs nominated for that. That was, the nominees for Best Chef in the Great Lakes included Jason Hamill of Lula Cafe, Gene Cato of Momotaro, Noah Sandoval of Oriole, John Shields and Karen Uri Shields of Smith Restaurant, Eric Williams of Virtue, and Lee Wolin of Boca. This is actually Lee's fifth consecutive nomination.
I'm reading from your article. Ashley, I had it and I lost it. Now I found it. Thank you. It says you wrote, similarly, two previously shuttered Boca Restaurant Group restaurants, Girl and the Goat and Boca, will launch carryout service via the Talk to Go system next week. That's good news. I've ordered out from Girl and the Goat before and thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because it is. And, I guess we all have to realize that the food won't be the same experience when you get it home, having ordered it takeout. But I'll take my chances with some of these restaurants.
Well, what a lot of them are doing now is understanding that what people want from curbside carryout now is not the same necessarily as what we wanted when we were just calling up for delivery of pad thai or pizza or whatever, when we wanted to eat it right now. Now, I think there's an understanding among the people who are ordering it and the people who are preparing it that what the good restaurants are doing is moving into meal kits, whereas it's not ready to eat the second you get it. And you put it, you go home, and it comes with instructions on how to reheat this and how to prepare, how to put that together. And so you're able to get the closest thing to a real meal as possible. Because no matter how fast you drive home, you will have the laws of thermal equilibrium are going to make that's at best, your hot dish is now a lukewarm dish.
Yeah. Finish that thought. I just want to.
For the Lena Group, when they do their things to go, that stuff is packed and it's actually cold and it's held, and so you can put it in and you have all your individual little boxes and instructions on what to do.
Yeah.
And by doing that, what they're able to do through the Talk to Go system is not only are you asking for the food, but you are choosing a pickup time. And the system registers your car make and model and license plate number. You're paying via credit card in advance. And at the appointed time, give or take 10, 15 minutes, you pull up to the address. There is a runner there, recognizes your car, recognizes your plate. You pop the trunk. In the food goes, slam, you're gone. And there's been no contact.
Am I cooking this food, am I heating this food on my microwave, or am I having to set the oven and put it in there for a while?
I would have to double check, but I'm going to assume oven. I don't think most of these chefs don't even have a microwave anywhere in their kitchens. They have no use for it.
Really? All right. So then you wrote about this, Alinea, and next, the group pivoted to curbside service. You describe how much the food costs, $24.95 to $50 a person, a lot less than you would pay for a meal at Alinea or next. But
about 10 times less, yeah.
That's actually kind of true, isn't it? And then
it's probably more than 10.
Expediters place the food in the car. No muss, no fuss, no contact. You wrote, a recent offering of Coq au Vin, said owner Nick Kokonis, sold 1,200 orders in one day.
Yeah.
Wow. Good right. for them. Hooray. I mean, I hope he's making money on that. But
he's making money on that. In fact, on May 1st, Nick hired everybody back in the Alinea Group. So they are, last I looked, except for people who chose not to come back to work.
Yeah, right.
They're at full capacity now.
Are you hearing much about that, Phil? So for some people, they'll take the $600 and stay home and
right.
make more money not working than going back to the restaurant. So are you hearing much about that?
I'm hearing that, especially in the smaller places, because essentially unemployment benefits, which are necessarily generous, I mean, I'm glad they're doing it this way, it gets pretty close to $15 an hour, when you work it out. So what does it take to get someone to come back to work when it's not the it's one thing to say come back to work, and another thing you have to say, I want you to come back to work, and we're going to make it as safe as we possibly can. And then that gets in the back of your head saying, so for what you're offering, I'm going to make $2 extra an hour as opposed to not doing anything, and I have to expose myself to some danger. I live with elderly parents. I can't do that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a consideration that a couple of my friends bring to bear whenever we talk about this. They say, I'm fine. I am near old people, and so now I have to treat myself like I'm an old person because I just can't risk it with them. And by the way, you know who doesn't fully appreciate that is some old people because they're mingling amongst themselves. I've run into this with my parents a little bit, and they say, well, come here, help your mom do this or do that. And I go, no, I can't do that. My dad and I were talking the other day, and I'm holding my phone looking at something, and he says, oh, well, let me see. And I've got the phone in my hand. I says, well, I can't give this to you. And he goes, oh, come on. And I go, no, I can't hand you my phone. That's, do you see? We're sitting out on the lawn. But if I walk over and hand you the phone, then we've blown this whole thing up. All right. I'm out of time. Phil, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I can't wait to see you, my friend.
All right. Yeah, one of these days.
Yeah.
Phase 4.
Stay well, Phil.
Do my best.
Yeah. Phil Vitella is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune.